The portion of God's word for our special meditation this morning is the second lesson from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Hear again those words for our meditation. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite toys when I was a little kid was a set of armor and a sword. I don't remember being aware of it at that time, but thinking of it now, I'm pretty sure that that set of armor was purchased from a Christian bookstore and was supposed to represent the full armor of God. Gentlemen, perhaps some of you, when you were younger, had a similar set of armor and sword. Well, I don't remember if my parents tried to explain to me the biblical significance behind each of those pieces of armor, but the fact that I don't remember that shows that I probably thought very little about any of that kind of significance. But I was just fixated on how cool it was to have a set of toy armor and a sword. Now I could rush out into the neighborhood and vanquish all my neighborhood foes and defend myself with a sword against the attacks of my older brother, at least before he took it out of my hand. Well, it's debatable whether such a toy is a useful teaching tool for kids or whether it trivializes something very serious that is spiritual warfare. But for us today, as we read this message from God's word, let's make no mistake about the grave seriousness of the battle that we are in and the absolute necessity of being fitted with the armor of God for our very survival. Before this reading of ours in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul had just given instructions for Christian living to husbands and wives, to parents and children, to slaves and masters, and now he says to all of them and to all of us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul knows that without the mighty power of the Lord, we will not be able to carry out the instructions that he has just given to us about God's will for us in the various roles that we occupy in our lives. We need mighty power from the Lord. We need the full armor of God, spiritual armor, because we are fighting a spiritual battle. Paul writes, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This is a truth that I think we don't often think about, or don't think about enough. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The devil likes to distract us and make us think that our struggle is against flesh and blood, so that we don't pay attention to him, the devil, and his evil angels, and the spiritual warfare that he is waging against us and against our souls. The devil likes nothing better than to be able to fly under our radars, to go unnoticed, and to attack us when we are least expecting it. The devil uses various tactics on people in various settings to make them forget the spiritual warfare that he is waging against them. For us here in the United States, especially in an election year or in a multi-year election cycle, I think that one way the devil makes us forget about the reality of spiritual warfare is by making us think that our struggle is against the government. We hear so many negative things about the government in these political campaigns. It's easy for us to begin to think, perhaps, that the government is the enemy. And in some cases, it might be. There are some laws and policies of the government that go directly against what God tells us in his word. But from other perspective, the government is just people. And all people, even the most hard-hearted, even the most virulent anti-Christian, are still souls for whom Jesus has died. Even though sometimes we may imagine that certain people are the enemy, they are in fact dearly loved by God through Jesus. And God earnestly desires to bring his word to them in order to save them from the spiritual war that seeks to claim their lives, just as God has saved each of us. Similarly, the devil may get us to think that certain bad elements in society are the enemy. For example, gangbangers, drug dealers, people who get into other kinds of crime or sinful lifestyles. It's true that God wants us to protect our families and not to endanger ourselves in a foolish way. But sometimes we may let our fear of or prejudice against such people stand in the way of proclaiming God's word to them, to those souls who so desperately need to hear it. And at times, the devil may even get us to think that some of our brothers and sisters right here in our own church are the enemy, and get us struggling against each other in personal conflicts or in conflicting ideas about how we think things should go here at church. When the devil succeeds in duping us in any of those areas, he takes a step forward in his war against our souls and against the salvation of the world. So it is vitally important for us to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. The first piece of that armor that Paul mentions in our reading today is the belt of truth. When we have the truth of God's word, we are able to see the dangerous lies of the devil for what they really are. We are able to see that our struggle is not against the government or against bad elements in society or against others in church who have different ideas than we do, but rather our struggle is against the devil and against his evil angels who seek to lead us into sin, to destroy our faith, and to drag us down into hell forever. And who seek also to do that same thing to the rest of the world. When we know that truth, we also know that the only thing to do is to continue and put on the rest of the full armor of God so that we have God's full protection against the spiritual forces of evil, so that we can stand firm, and so that we can even fight back against them. The next piece of armor that Paul mentions is the breastplate of righteousness. One Bible commentary explains this phrase to mean that the warrior's character is his defense. But the problem with that explanation is that in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, we see that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Filthy rags do not make much of a breastplate, or not much of a breastplate that would be of any use to us in warfare. No, this breastplate of righteousness must be made of the true and perfect obedience, the perfect righteousness of Christ, if it is to be of any use to us against the attacks of the devil on our souls. In fact, all of these pieces of armor and weaponry come not from ourselves, but from God. That is why we are able to stand firm, because it is God's own power that is defending us. With that breastplate of Christ's righteousness, with the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, we are able to fend off the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil tries to attack us with the guilt of our sins. He tries to accuse us and condemn us for the times that we have sinfully fought against flesh and blood, rather than recognizing and fighting our battles as spiritual ones. But we have been covered over with the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of the perfect life that Jesus lived here on this earth, obeying all of God's commands perfectly for us. Even though we ourselves were not righteous, but rather full of sin, God gives us the righteousness of Jesus to be our own. This righteousness can withstand all the attacks and accusations of the devil. The helmet that protects our heads is the eternal salvation that Jesus won for us by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. And finally, faith, which trusts in the righteousness of Jesus that covers over us, and the eternal salvation that Jesus won for us, is like the shield that completes the protective armor. The devil attacks with lies. He says that we are not worthy of God's love because we have failed in the battle, because so many times we have sinned and attacked God and attacked our friends and God's friends. But faith trusts in God's promise that the only thing that counts in God's sight is what Jesus has already done to save us, not our own past failings. And so the shield of faith protects us from those attacks, those lies of the devil. There's one piece of armor that we have not yet touched on, the foot fittings of readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In my mind, this particular piece represents a transition from defensive armor to offensive weaponry. One piece of an ancient soldier's armor was the greave, a kind of plate armor that fitted over the lower legs. And that could be what Paul is talking about here. But the emphasis here is on readiness, and it seems to be more like a readiness for action. The defensive armor, the belt, the breastplate, the shield, and helmet obviously enable us to stand firm and to protect ourselves from attack. But the foot fittings of readiness implies that we will be doing more than just standing in place and fending off an attack, but that we will be doing some walking or even some running, actively engaged in heated battle. We are made ready for battle action by the gospel of peace. Peace in battle? That seems to be a contradiction. But we know that the devil's attacks seek to prevent us from fighting back by paralyzing us and destroying our faith. By destroying our faith or causing us to doubt the gospel of peace. In the gospel, God tells us that our war with him, with God, is over through Jesus. The forgiveness of sins that Jesus has won for us has already brought us peace with God. And that peace of forgiveness makes us ready to charge out into battle in order to bring that spiritual peace to others whom the devil is attacking. And so with this full armor of God protecting us, we charge out into battle with the ultimate weapon that can fight back against the devil and defeat him, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The devil fights with lies and with accusations, but we fight back with God's Word, with the truth of God's love for us in Christ. We are fighting for ourselves, so that the devil may not attack and destroy us, destroy our faith. But we are also fighting for other flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against the government or against society or against each other. God wants us to take the sword of His word into battle against the devil and to use it to save people who are under the control of the devil and his lies. Closely connected with this spiritual battle to save the lost is Paul's final exhortation to us in this reading. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." As we go out from here, from our church, into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and our schools, and as we engage in spiritual struggle for souls, remember that prayer is a powerful and effective weapon that God gives us to use. God tells us that our prayers are powerful and effective because of Jesus. So be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for yourself and pray for each other so that whenever we open our mouths, words may be given us so that we may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen.